and welcome to another Fox Football preview, podcast preview of the season. We're going to talk to all of the coaches, or as many that are going to talk to us as possible. And I'm now here with Melbourne City boss Warren Joyce, who's going to have a chat. Be about 20 minutes, Warren. Won't be too long. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Ah, good, good. Mate, how are things now that you've, if you want to use the expression, got your feet under the table after 12 months in this country? How are you? How's your headspace as opposed to where it was this time last year?
Yeah, obviously you've got a better feel for the league and the country. You know, there's plenty of experienced managers in this league who would know who the better players are, who the best pros are. You know, and you know, I think it helps when it comes to recruitment that you know exactly what type of person you're getting in. You know, before you sign them. So now you've got a pretty good idea on who you like in the league, which players you like, who you think look good characters, you know, and that obviously helps. You know, you're still playing catch up on managers who've been here for a long time, who've got a better understanding of it than me, but you feel confident that you've got a better feel for the league this year than you did last.
How many times in your early stages last year when you were getting used to everything that you went to go and do something in terms of either signing a player or do something with the team or structurally around, and then you got told, oh, actually, it works like this down here. It is a unique
salary cap's different. Yeah, salary cap's a different, you know, unique environment. You know, you play around with the budget to try and get, you know, squeeze every last little bit out of it. It's not as simple as, you know, in England or Europe where
just go and sign him.
You scout the player, like the player, find out about his background, speak to the agent, try and sort the money out and sign him. It's not as simple as that, you know. And then obviously there's the foreign rule as well, you know. So all them things play a part. Obviously, at our club, we're keen on producing our own players, young players, young Australian players. We want them to come through. We want them to play for the national team. We want us to help us to be successful, and we want them to go on and have good careers, you know, at the highest level they possibly can have.
A lot of people look at Melbourne City and go, well, they could just go out and buy anyone they want, but obviously there's a certain parameter that you've got to work inside, and it appears from outside looking in that the club is pretty keen to not move away from getting a guy that you're going to pay $5 million a year for, but they seem as keen to get as many talented 16, 17-year-olds within the system and do it that way. Is that how you...
Yeah, I think you've got to have a plan for the future or growing even football in Australia. You know, if you want to play a certain way, it's difficult to sign players who've got everything. You know, in salary cap restrictions, you maybe have to work hard on producing your own players and getting them to do the things that you want them to do, to play in the style you want them to play, and be the type of person you want them to be as well. We've talked offline about kind of some of the money that's knocking around in England and some ridiculous wages that, you know, that are not often merited, really. And, you know, you're looking for actually people who want to be sportsmen, people who want to be better, people who want to compete, be the best they can be, train hard every day, and then, you know, get money somewhere down the line, really, rather than looking at getting money just to be here. And, you know, you certainly don't want anybody coming in for a paid holiday and just enjoying the lifestyle of Australia. You want it to be a hungry, competitive environment, and we want to, you know, get all the players like that, you know, young and old. You want, you know, the Brattons and the Malicks of the team, you know, still at their age. This has got to be their best time. They've got to be that competitive, that determined to do well. You know, they're coming into the mid-20s, and you want them just as competitive as the kids coming through as well.
Got any Arzanis that are going to pop out this season, next 12 months?
Obviously, you know, Daniel's got, you know, a unique talent in that, the way he could beat players, the arrogance of his timing, you know, that's not something that any coach in the world has given him. That's something that he's born with. You know, there's other things you've got to hone to get him to do things with the team, but, you know, sometimes players like that, they've got a special gift, you know, that still needs honing. He's still got a lot of work to do, and hopefully he's, you know, he's a success and carries on being successful, but he's got, you know, natural talent. We're looking for players like that. You know, you look down the academy, there's some good players here. There's not that many with that natural X factor.
But when I say Arzani's, as in like guys that are going to come in, whatever their attributes that are going to go.
Yeah, there's certainly
20 games.
Yeah, there's certainly several players, you know, all the way down the system, you know, going down to the 14-year-olds at the club. There's some good players, you know, you could see them progressing and being really good players in Australian football in the future. You know, obviously with the 14-year-olds, it's a bit of a wait. You know, I'd certainly have a few more grey hairs by the time they're knocking around. But, you know, you've got to be patient with them. You've got to have a development plan for them. You've got to have things in place that will test them so that they're ready if they get that one chance in the A-League, whatever age, they're able to take it and flourish and ready for their opportunity.
Obviously, these good kids have got a lot of natural ability, but is the danger with some of them getting to an environment like yours, given who your ownership is, given who the club's linked to, given the facilities at the club, which are second to none in Australia, that they can think that perhaps it's already happened for them in some respects? And how do you knock that out of a kid?
I don't think the staff are like that. So I think, you know, the staff are humble and hardworking, and if the people that are around the kids, you know, are humble and hardworking and do everything right, I think there's a pretty good chance the kids are going to be, you know, come out like that. If it's the other way around and all the staff were up to self because of the badge, there's a pretty good chance the kids would be the same, really. You know, so that's important, the environment that they're in. You know, you want basic things, really. You want them to be humble and hardworking and respectful and determined and resilient, you know, and they're the type of things we're trying to put into the players.
Could you understand some of the chat at the start of last season when you started so well, but a bit of chat was around how you were doing it and it wasn't as aesthetically pleasing as perhaps Melbourne City teams in the past, or you couldn't give two hoots about how your team is perceived about how they play?
Obviously... You didn't really listen to anything that was going on, really. You satisfy yourself, you know, and obviously the people at the football club, you want to win games, you want to win, play in a certain way, if you possibly can. There's always the opposition trying to stop you doing that. And then, obviously, the start of last season, you're coming in and you're looking at see what the players can and can't do, you know, and I think you're just asking them to do things that they could do, as opposed to things that they couldn't do, you know. And then there was maybe other players at the club that maybe thought they could do different things. But, you know, even in the pre-season, we had some problems against, you know, some of the local teams here, you know, in the pre-season friendlies, that we couldn't necessarily play the way you wanted to play. You know, we weren't mobile enough in several positions, and we got run ragged against teams like Bentley in pre-season, you know, and that was an eye-opener for me of what the season could be like, you know, if you asked them to do certain things, because some players not capable of doing the things you're asking them to do. So then you have to come up with a plan B, really, you know, and look at things that people can do and work to get the best out of those players, you know. So that's really just coming in and looking and seeing what you've got, really. I think that progressed over the season. We played better football as the season went on. But again, I had maybe two or three almost completely different sides. You know, last season wasn't settled. As you're growing the club and progressing, people were coming in, you know, adding a little bit extra quality. And then, obviously, you're building towards that, and then we lose some of those to start this season, you know, as well. You were just... you know, probably embedding into the way we wanted to play, the culture of the football club. You know, but then you lose a few in the summer and you're starting again a little bit with some young players and some experienced players. But that's normal in football clubs, isn't it?
Welcome to the A-League, by the way.
Yeah, there's not that many players here on 3-year contracts, is there, or 4-year contracts, where there's...
Scott Jamieson managed to get himself one.
You know,
that
stability.
Was a wonderful effort
he's
from his.
The gift of the gab.
He'll be a good agent.
Yeah.
He'll be an agent one day, won't he? How do you put up with him? Or is he? You just let him go and wind other people.
You get all sorts, don't you? And you know, you need characters in dressing rooms. You need everybody's different. You need that's the personalities. As long as they're all pulling together, you know, in the same way on the training ground and the pitch. But you need. You need different people in dressing rooms to keep it lively.
So back to the way that you want to play this season, and obviously every coach sits here on the eve of a season and say, we're going to play this way. Obviously, personnel dictates exactly how you're going to carry that out. As you mentioned before, your idea about how things are going to go this season is based around what we saw towards the back end of last season with your squad?
Yeah, well, even... You know, you'd even like to progress on that, really. You know, there's certain things that you've maybe been doing for a long time that you, you know, that you've had to. I'm not saying it's irrelevant here, but you, if you look and look at certain things and they can't do it, you've got to come up with another way of doing the same thing. There's obviously things in possession that it's clear in. The club methodology of all the clubs, how you want to play, how you want to pass the ball. There's other things that you've been doing for a long period that maybe not as easy to do here, so you've got to adapt on the pressing a little bit and closing down differently than maybe what you've done for a long period. But that's normal, I would think, in a lot of places around the world that they adapt to the surroundings and even the heat here is different. You know, people can watch games on TV, you know, back in Europe and back in England, but unless they're out there on the pitch, they don't get a feeling for actually what it's like to play in those sort of conditions. You know, you can look at the tempo at times, but there's a lot of English clubs would struggle big time playing in 30-odd degrees.
Yeah. A lot of managers struggle to stay on the sideline with shorts like you wore every time, so... speaking of managers, in the off season, I noticed Pep Guardiola made it down here for a couple of days. Did you get a chance to pick his brains a bit, or
he was
swap
in,
some ideas?
He was in at the training facility. You know, obviously busy schedule, and you know, every credit to the man himself. Even on a family holiday,
He was
on a family holiday that he just popped across, did something for the supporters of the club, and you know, before flying back to England. So his family were with him. His son was with him in the training ground. So every credit there for taking that time out to you know, to be around the place and speak to some of the players and being at the club and you know, speak to the supporters as well. Tremendous gesture by him.
Do you get a chance to chat, or is it?
We had a brief chat, about football. And
two football nerds having a chat about football and none of the other garbage that
maybe
goes on.
Maybe one nerd, one top manager.
What was sitting down like we've only got a little window to it with that series that Manchester City have put up on Amazon, and you see a couple of clips about how. Like just engaged he is with every moment of every second that he's at the football club. He's just so damn intense. Are you along those lines, or do you have to be like that?
I think you've got to, you know, it's a way of life, you know, not a job, in it, you know, and you're saying that to the players, even in the training, they've got to be that intense for every second of every minute of every day. And if they've got that mentality, they're going to improve, because it's like, any job, the more you're doing it, the more you either practice to do it well or you practice to do it sloppy. You know, you even in here now, you're telling me exactly where to put this. They go, oh, just put it anywhere. Or you know, it's the same principles.
Yeah.
If you concentrate and you focus and you're professional every second of every minute of every day, you're doing things the right way, you're going to get better, you hone your skills, you're going to improve. If you don't and you're casual with it and you never get the consistency that's needed at the highest level to win and consistently win and be serial winners, because you're not training that way. So you've got to be like that.
You love other sports. You love your cricket. You love rugby, and you would have noticed become knowledgeable in the art of AFL, if you can call it an art, and also rugby league. Have you picked brains of other sporting clubs here?
And... Yeah, fortunately, we've been into Essendon, Carlton, Melbourne Storm. You've obviously not spoke to anybody directly linked with the cricket, but you know you've watched it, and even just watching in the tennis, and you know I've been, you know you can watch Federer warming up, and he never, one thing that I looked at there, he never gave up on one single ball, didn't quit on it. You know, at his age now and achieving all the things that he's done, he was that professional that he wouldn't not sprint in the, you know, he didn't, oh, I'll leave this one.
Yeah.
And
that's in his warm-up. I think,
that's the kind of things that you're on about that you're mentioning from watching the Pep Guardiola, the Manchester City video, that, you know, it's a common theme in all the sports. You know, you're grateful that you can go in and see, you know, at close quarters some of the things that they do, and, you know, just watch and listen. And, you know, that was really one of the real interesting things coming to Australia for me. You know, seeing that and experiencing that and seeing what you can learn from other codes and other people. You know, so you've enjoyed watching that. It really is a hotbed for sport. And I, you know, obviously knew very little about Aussie rules before I came out here, but I've enjoyed watching the game, really.
What was your first impression when you saw the first game?
I actually enjoy watching tactically from behind, you know, up high, behind the goal. You can see pictures that, you know, if you're saying... Sometimes how they mark man to man, you were doing that in football in England and pushing, you know, you were doing that, you were playing a certain way, and it looked very similar, really. Yeah. You know, but you've got a certain type of players that, you know, that can do that. And
The movements are, you watch an AFL game from...
You know, but pushing in and really going man to man all over the pitch, it's another interesting concept that you have... You know, done in football.
All those things that you mentioned there about other sports and picking up little bits and pieces, do they help when you get back to your team? And, I mean, it's, 75% of the players that were here last season are here again. So do you have to then think of how you're going to get your message across about what you're talking about there in terms of professionalism and intensity? There's only so many times you can tell a player the same thing before he just... his eyes glaze over and he gets very bored. So does that help in terms of trying to freshen up your message and not change the way that you want them to think, but just tweak the way that you want them to think and take that message on board and get a little bit more out of them?
I see a lot of the players, you know, doing things for themselves now, really, you know, from say last year, the improvement on even some of the fitness levels, miles better than they were last year, start of last year particularly. You know, and a lot more professional around the building. You know, I see a desire to get better. I see people who, you know, have a focus on training well every day and maybe a long-term goal of doing well this season, you know, which is good. And that culture, it's important that anybody we bring into it is of the same vein and desperate to fit in, and actually you want actually the new players to come in and be taken back by the tempo or the quality of the training or the intensity. You know, that's what you're looking at. It's better, obviously, if new lads can come in and give it a lift and be that professional and go again. It lifts the players at the club and it just gets them going along the same lines and everybody pulling the same direction.
Champions League, the goal this year, to actually definitely qualify it when you thought you had qualified for it last season, or is it higher?
You concentrate on trying to win every game and the rest looks after itself. Then if you train hard every day and build up for the game and try to win every game that we're playing, that's the aim. You can only look at, you know, the games one at a time and aim to do that.
What's better, a 4-2 win or a 1-0 win?
You'd want a 4-0 win.
Not being greedy.
Because you want it to be, you're striving for perfection, aren't you? You know, you want to be, everybody have a way of doing things, a way of closing down, knowing the jobs, knowing the role in the side, and the opposition has the ball, and then hurting the opposition as much as you can, but you don't want to gift goals. We don't want to give goals away cheap. And obviously we want to be creative and give the opposition lots of problems, but that's, every team will say that, won't they?
Yeah, exactly. They're the grand plans for this season. Warren Joyce, thank you very much for your time and good luck with it all.
No problem, thank you.